Chapter 36. Kylar had walked up to men in broad daylight within paces of the city guard to kill them. He'd crawled under tables while a cat clawed him as guards searched the room for intruders. He'd had to break into a vat of wine and hide inside it, as a noble's wine taster had picked out an appropriate bottle for dinner. He'd waited a yard from a fully stoked oven after he'd poisoned a stew while a cook debated with himself on what spice he'd added too much of to make it taste so strange. But he'd never been this nervous. He stared at the door, a narrow servant's entrance, in dismay. He was a beggar today, come to beg a crust. His hair was lank and greasy, smeared with ash and tallow. His skin was tough and brown, hands gnarled and arthritic. To get to that door, he had to make it through the guards at the estate's tall gate.
"Oi, old man," a stumpy guard with a halberd said. "What you be wantin'?"
"I heard my little girl is here, Miss Cromwell. I hoped she might find me a crust, is all."
That woke up the other guard, who had only given Kylar a cursory glance.
"What say you? You're related to Miss Cromwell?"
The protective air around the man, who must have been nearly 40, was palpable.
"No, no, she's not mine," Kylar protested, scraping a laugh across his lungs. "Just an old friend."
The guards looked at each other.
"You're gonna go find her and bring her out here at this time of day with the goings on tonight?"
Stumpy asked. The other shook his head, and with a grumble, started patting Kylar down gingerly.
"Swear I'll get lice off of one of Miss Cromwell's strays one of these days."
"I knew it, but she's worth it, isn't she?"
You're not so magnanimous when you're the one patting the beggar, Bert." "Ah, stuff it." "Go on, kitchen's that way," the older guard told Kylar. "Bert, I'm lenient with you. But if you tell me to stuff it one more time, I'll show you the business end of my boot."
Kylar shuffled to the kitchen, favoring a stiff knee. The guards, for all their talk, were professionals. They held their weapons like they knew what to do with them, and though they hadn't seen through his disguise, they hadn't neglected their duty to search him. Such discipline boded ill for him. Though he took his time walking and memorizing the layout of the estate grounds, the walk wasn't nearly long enough. The Jadwins had been dukes for 5 generations, and the manse was one of the most beautiful in the city. The Jadwin estate overlooked the Plith River and directly faced Cenaria Castle. Just north of the estate was East Kingsbridge, which was ostensibly for military use, but it was rumored to be used more often for the king's nocturnal liaisons. If Lady Jadwin really was the king's mistress, the Jadwin estate was perfectly placed for easy access. The king also kept the duke running all over Mitkrayu on diplomatic missions that everyone but the duke knew were pure pretense. The manse itself was set on a small central hill that allowed it to overlook the river, despite 12-foot spiked walls that bordered the entire property. With a trembling hand, he masked as a palsy, Kylar knocked at the servant's entrance.
"Yes?"
The door opened, and a young woman wiping her hands on an apron looked at Kylar expectantly. She was a beautiful woman, maybe 17, with an hourglass figure that even through a servant's woolens obviously would have been the envy of any of Mama Kay's rent girls. The scars were still there. An X on her cheek, an X across her full lips, and a loop from the corner of her mouth to the outside of her eye. The scar gave her a permanent little grin, but the kindness of her mouth eased the cruelty of the scar. Kylar remembered how her eyes had looked, swollen grossly. He'd been afraid she would never see out of it, but her eyes, both of them, were clear and bright brown, sparkling with goodness and happiness. Doll girl's nose had been broken to mush, and Eileen's wasn't completely straight, but it didn't look bad. And she had all her teeth, of course, he realized. She'd been young enough that she'd only lost small teeth in the beating.
"Oh, come in, Grandfather," she said quietly. "I'll find you something to eat."
She offered her arm and didn't seem offended by his staring. She took him to a small side room with a narrow table for the servants who needed to be within earshot of the kitchen. Calmly, she told a woman 10 years older than she was that she needed her to take over while Eline took care of her guest. From her tone and the older woman's reaction, Kylar could see that Eline was adored here, and that she took care of beggars all the time.
"How are you, Grandfather? Can I get a salve for your hands? I know it's painful on these chilly mornings."
What had he done to deserve this? He'd come as the most foul sort of beggar, and she showered him with kindness. He had nothing to give her, yet she treated him like a human being. This was the woman who had almost died because of his arrogance and stupidity. His failure. The only ugliness in her life was because of Kylar. He'd thought he'd set aside his guilt 2 years ago when Mama Kay had told him the simple truth that he'd saved Eline from worse than scars. But looking at those scars up close threatened to throw him right back to that hell. She put a crust covered with fresh hot gravy down on the table and started to cut it into smaller pieces. "Would you like to sit here? We'll just make this a little easier to chew, yes?" she said, speaking loudly, the way people who work with old people learn to. She smiled, and the scars tugged at her full lips. No. He'd put her here, with these people who adored her, where she could afford to share a crust. Eline had made her own choices to become who she was, but he had made those choices possible. If there was one good thing he'd done, it was this. He closed his eyes and breathed deeply. When he opened his eyes and looked at her without guilt darkening his vision, she was stunning. Eline's hair was lustrous gold. Aside from the scars, her skin was flawless, eyes large and bright, cheekbones high, lips full, teeth white, neck slender. Figure. Entrancing. She was leaning forward to cut the crust for him, her bodice gapping in front. Kylar took his eyes away, trying to slow his pulse. She noticed his sharp move and looked at him. He met her eyes. Her look was quizzical, open. He was going to ask this woman to betray her employer? A tangled snarl of emotions that he'd kept shoved into some dark corner closet of his soul surged and burst through the doors. Kylar choked on a sob. He blinked, his eyes hard.
"Get a hold of yourself."
Eline put her arm around him, heedless of his filthy clothing and stench. She didn't say anything, didn't ask anything. Just touched him. Tingles shot through him, and his emotions surged again.
"Do you know who I am?"
Kylar asked. He didn't use the beggar voice. Eline Cromwell looked at him strangely, uncomprehending. He wanted to stay hunched, to hide from those gentle eyes, but he couldn't. He straightened his back and stood up and stretched his fingers.
"Kylar?" she asked. "It is you. What are you doing here? Did Mags and Elena send you? Oh my God, what did they tell you?"
Her cheeks flushed and her eyes lit with hope and embarrassment. It wasn't fair that a woman could be so beautiful. Did she know what she was doing to him? Her face was the face of a girl surprised by a boy in the best way. Oh gods! She thought he was here to ask her to Mags's party. Eline's expectations were about to meet reality like a toddler charging the Alatiran cavalry.
"Forget Kylar," he said, though it pained him. "Look at me, and tell me who you see."
"An old man?" she said. "It's a very good costume, but It isn't a costume party. She flushed again as if she were presuming too much.
Look at me. Doll girl.
His voice was strangled.
She stopped,
transfixed, peering into his eyes. She touched his face. Her eyes went wide.
Aesoth,
she whispered. She put a hand on the table to steady herself.
Aesoth!
She flung herself at him so fast he almost tried to block her attack. Then she was squeezing him. He stood stock still, his mind refusing to understand for a long moment. She was hugging him. He couldn't make himself move, couldn't think. He simply felt. The smooth skin of her cheek brushed his scruffy, unshaven one. Her hair filled his nostrils with the clean scent of youth and promise. She hugged him fiercely, the notes of strong, hard arms joining with supple, firm stomach, and back joining with the pure, feminine softness of her chest pressed against his, making a chord of perfect acceptance. Tentatively, he lifted his hand from his sides and touched her back. He tasted salt on his lips. A tear. His tear. His chest convulsed uncontrollably, and suddenly he was sobbing. He grabbed her, and she squeezed him harder still. He felt her crying, staccato breaths shaking her slender frame, and for a moment, the world was reduced to a single hug. Reunion. Joy. Acceptance.
Aesoth? I heard you were dead,
Aline said, all too soon.
You will always be alone.
Kylar froze up. If tears could stop halfway down a cheek, his would have. He released Aline deliberately, stepped back. Her eyes were red, but still shining as she dabbed her tears away with a handkerchief. A sudden desire to sweep her into his arms and kiss her crashed over him in a wave. He blinked, held himself still until reality could reassert itself. He opened his mouth, couldn't say a thing, couldn't ruin it. He tried again, ready to lay out his lies.
Couldn't. Relationships are ropes. Love is a noose.
Durzo told me. He gave me a chance. I could have been a Fletcher, an herbalist. I chose this.
I was ordered never to see you.
By my master.
His tongue was leaden. Durzo Blint. He could tell even Aline had heard of Durzo Blint. Her eyes tightened in confusion. He could see her working through it. If Durzo was his master, that meant... He saw a quick little disbelieving smile, as if she were about to say, "But wet boys are monsters, and you're not a monster." But then the smile faded. Why else would her Aesoth never contact her? How else would a guild rat disappear so completely? Her eyes grew distant.
When I was hurt, I remember you arguing with someone, demanding that he save me. I thought it was a dream. That was Durzo Blint, wasn't it?
Yes.
And you... Now you're what he is?
Aline asked. Close enough. Actually, I'm not even full-fledged horror. I'm just an assassin, a hack.
You apprenticed with him, so he would save me?
She asked, her voice barely above a whisper.
You became what you are because of me?
Yes. No, I don't know. He gave me a chance to leave after I killed Rat, but I didn't want to be afraid anymore, and Durzo was never afraid, and even as an apprentice he paid me so well that I could... He stopped. Her eyes narrowed as she puzzled it out.
"That you could support me," she finished.
She put her hands over her mouth. He nodded.
"Your beautiful life is built on blood money."
What was he doing? He should be lying to her. The truth could only destroy.
"I'm sorry. I shouldn't have told you.
You're sorry?"
Aline interrupted him. He knew what the next words out of her mouth would be. "You're a failure. Look at what you've done to me."
"What are you talking about?"
she asked.
"You've given me everything. You fed me on the streets when I was too young to find food for myself. You saved me from Rat. You saved me when your master was going to let me die. You put me with a good family who loved me."
"But aren't you mad at me?"
She was taken aback.
"Why would I be mad at you?"
"If I hadn't been so arrogant, that bastard wouldn't have come for you. I humiliated him. I should have been watching. I should have protected you better."
"You were 11 years old,
Aline said.
"Every scar on your face is my fault. Gods, look at you. You would have been the most beautiful woman in the city. Instead, you're here giving crusts to beggars."
"Instead of where?"
she asked quietly.
"Do you know any girls who've been prostitutes since they were children?" "I do. I've seen what you saved me from, and I'm grateful for it every day. I'm grateful for these scars."
"But your face..."
Kylar was on the edge of tears again.
"If this is the worst ugliness in my life, Azoth, I think I'm pretty lucky."
She smiled, and despite the scars, the room lit up. She was breathtaking. "You're beautiful," he said. She actually blushed. The Drake sisters were the only girls Kylar knew who blushed, and Cira didn't blush anymore.
"Thank you,"
she said, and touched his arm. At her touch, shivers went through him. He looked into her eyes, and then he blushed too. He'd never been so mortified in his life, blushing. That only made it worse. She laughed. Not a laugh at him in his discomfort, but a laugh of such innocent joy it pained him. Her laugh, like her voice, was low, and it brushed over him like a cool wind on a hot day. Then her laughter passed, and a look of profound sorrow stole over her face.
"I'm so sorry, Azoth. Kylar, I'm sorry for what you've had to pay to put me here. I don't even know what to think. Sometimes it seems the god's hand doesn't reach very far into the Warrens. I'm sorry."
She looked at him for a long time, and another tear tracked down her cheek. She ignored it, just absorbing him.
"Are you a bad man, Kylar?"
He hesitated, then said, "Yes."
"I don't believe you,"
she said.
"A bad man would have lied."
"Maybe I'm an honest villain."
He turned away.
"I think you're still the boy who shared his bread with his friends when he was starving."
"I always took the biggest piece,"
he whispered.
"Then we remember differently,"
Aline said. She heaved a deep breath and brushed her tears away.
Are you here for work?"
It was a shot in the solar plexus. "There's a wet boy coming to kill someone at the party tonight and steal something. I need an invitation to get in."
"What are you going to do?"
she asked. In truth, Kylar had barely thought about it.
"I'm going to kill him,"
he said. And it was the truth. Hugh Gibbet was the kind of twist who started killing beggars when he had to go too long between jobs. He needed murder like a drunkard needs wine. If Kylar came and stole the silver kakari first, Hugh Gibbet would come after him. He was a full wet boy, and reputed to be as strong of a fighter as Durzo. Kylar's only chance to kill him would be to catch him off guard. Tonight. Eline still didn't look at him.
If you're a wet boy, you've got other ways to get in. You must know forgers. Kylar Stern must have contacts. Maybe an invitation from me would be the easiest way in, but that's not why you came. You came here to case the place, didn't you?
His silence was answer enough.
All these years,
Eline said, turning her back,
I thought Azoth was dead. And maybe he is. Maybe I helped kill him. I'm sorry, Kylar. I'd give my life to help you, but I can't give you what's not mine to give. My loyalty, my honor belongs to the god. I can't betray my lady's trust. I'm afraid I'm going to have to ask you to leave.
It was a gentler banishment than he deserved, but banishment all the same. Kylar hunched and curled his fingers into arthritic claws and left. He turned once he reached the gate, but Eline wasn't even watching him go.